Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, December 24th, 2012. And as you can see, the way I stress December 24th, that I am letting you guys know that I realize that it's Christmas Eve. Okay? I realize that, therefore, this has to be a very special podcast. which it won't be. But I'm just letting you know that I know that you feel that it should be special. Shouldn't I have some sort of Christmas special going on here? Singing you guys some holiday tunes. Huh? Have holly jolly Christmas. Oh, it's the best time of the year. Everybody is pretty cool except for that douche your sister married. There's always one, right? There's always going to be that one fucking guy. Everybody's having a good time, and then this one cunt has to come in moping around. You know? Who is it? The chick with the substance abuse problem or the moody guy? I'd rather have the substance abuse chick around than the moody guy. The moody guy's the worst. He comes in, right? Like the fucking antithesis of mistletoe. You know? He should have mistletoe on his shoes pointed the other direction, like some sort of devil reference. You know, instead of hanging from the heavens, it's coming up from the fucking floor. Right? Kiss my fucking feet, everybody. Because you're going to have to deal with me and my mood. Because I'm not just going to have the decency to be miserable over in the corner. I'm going to fucking sit down right in front of everybody and just sit there sulking. You know? And there'll be a couple of fucking hardcore people who will see it and they'll just roll their eyes. But there's always the one douche, the one chick who's a member of the 4-H club or whatever the hell it is that she does, bake sales, helps out with the church car wash, whatever the fuck she does. But, you know, she has to, what's the matter? You look sad. Oh, my God. Are you sad? She sees fucking sad every year. Watch the language around the mistletoe. Karen, don't fucking do this. Don't. Every fucking year. I don't care if their kids are going to hear it anyway. They're going to hear it anyway. All right? Every year this douche comes in looking like fucking droopy dog. And I'm sick of it. It's not my fault. His life's. I don't care if he can hear me. Of course he's leaving. Of course he's leaving. You're leaving? You leave? Oh, where are you going to go, huh? Kill yourself in a fucking rest area? Right? It's one of those deals. Every year there's that douche. Then there's always the douche who has to try and top everybody's stories. You know, you could be sitting there with the fucking astronaut. You'd somehow try to top him or correct him. Well, actually, I thought, according to, I don't know what video game, some fucking astronaut video game the douche played, he'd actually try to question a real astronaut. Who even knows an astronaut at this point? Aren't they all dead? Did the people who were on the space shuttle, were they considered astronauts? Because I didn't consider them astronauts. You're not an astronaut if you're in a plane. Okay? And I know it's a big one. And I know it's got rockets on it initially. All right? But all I know is that the astronauts that I grew up on with were fucking, they were at the top of a missile. That's what they did. You didn't steer that fucking thing. I don't even know how they got back. They had a little capsule. I think you just leaned to one side. You kept rolling back towards the Earth, hoping you'd re-enter. Right? Then the parachutes came out, and they couldn't fucking find you because all we had was binoculars. You know, where is he? I don't see him. Anything on the starboard? Nothing, sir. Ain't nothing off the starboard. Right? And you're fucking sitting there in the water, clinging to a stingray. If you're lucky, you landed on an island, and then you met a genie who called you master, but for some reason you never fucked her. But other than that, that's what an astronaut was. He didn't fly in a fucking plane, you know, eating SpaghettiOs or whatever the fuck they did. And then land and get towed to the gate by a fucking Toyota Tundra. All right? That's not an astronaut to me. That's a very impressive pilot. I'm very impressed. You went a lot higher than the jumbo jet I flew to Syracuse in. Hats off to you, sir. I just heard Johnny Mathis in the car. In the car? Fucking guy's great. You know, what the hell song was he singing? What the fuck song was he singing? Something about, it's the something in your heart that's dope, bo, bo. Oh, fuck. How does it go? Fuck, it's right there. Something about that. Put the jingle in your heart. It's a song in your heart. And I've got skis. Every time I think of Johnny Mathis, I always picture that Christmas album when he was sitting there with his, you know, his skis and his sweater on. You know? Oh, fuck, Bill. You know, you'd think if you were going to bring up a fucking something you just heard, you could remember it. Wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you?
Anyways, I hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas. It is one day away. Have you finished your shopping? I know the podcast is late. I know it's late. You know what? I actually recorded it this morning, and I was fucking with my dog on it, and he unplugged my device, and then somehow it all got erased. So this is the second time I'm doing it. So I think because of that, I think I sound pretty jolly right about now, don't you? I'm still coughing up mold. Any doctors listen to this podcast? Do you? Well, that's I don't know if that's impressive. Why would you listen to this podcast? Do you need a break from thinking? Huh? Because you're so fucking smart because you went to college until you were 35. And now you're fucking 900 grand in debt and you're looking up people's assholes. Really? That was your game plan? You know, if you wanted to fuck a nurse, you could have just had your girl, you know, just put on a nurse's outfit. What's the difference? The goods are all the same. Did you really need to go through all of that? Just so you could walk around instead of somebody saying, you know, Mr. Johnson, they have to be like, Dr. Johnson. I don't like how doctors, like, when they go to a fucking restaurant, they have to say, you know, table four, and they got to be, you know, fucking, you know, Dr. Marblehead. Why can't you say just say four for Marblehead? Why'd I pick Marblehead? I don't know why. Peterson, you know, four for Peterson. It's got four for Dr. Peterson. You know, get over yourself, you fucking douche. So many of those, the goddamn doctors are not involved in life and death shit. I'm not saying they don't kill people. And I'm not, I guess, well, you know, if they fuck up, they can kill somebody. But a lot of them, you know, they're looking at toes. Checking out your ears, your throat, and that type of shit. You know, they're like the Jiffy Lube doctors. You know, that's all they're doing. Changing a fucking air filter, draining out the oil, put the plug back in, put a new filter on, pour the shit back in the top of the engine. Call me in 2 days. That's all you're doing. All right? Those real guys that deal with the fucking, the insides, the pistons and all that shit. Those are the guys. You know? Or the computer. Those are the real doctors. You know? So next time you go out to a fucking, whatever the fuck it's called, Cracker Barrel. Just say your last name. All right?
Dr. Peterson.
You fucking douche. I hope you get mugged. You know? I don't go to a fucking restaurant and sit there, stand-up comedian, burr. Table for one, because I'm on the road and I'm lonely. Comedian burr. Comedian burr, table for one. Anyways. Did you guys watch any football? Who gives a fuck about football? It's almost over. Can you believe how fucking fast the NFL season goes by? Why is it so short? You know why? Because it's a fucking man's game. That's why. September, October, November, December, and you're into playoffs. 4 months. Baseball starts in April. So that's April, May, June, July. Right now, we would be in the dog days of summer with baseball. But football, it's almost over. You know? This time next month, we're going to be sitting there waiting for the Pro Bowl, which I'm going to, by the way. I'm going to be out there with like 87 other people in that stadium. It's fucking... Do you realize this is how much of a pussy game baseball is? Or Well, let's spin it positively because it's Christmas Eve. It's the eve before Christmas. This is how manly football is. Baseball players, if you're healthy for the whole year, you play as many professional games as a football player plays in a 10-year career. You know? And after a 10-year career, most football players, they have damage that they're not walking away from. They got some sort of a limp, some sort of twitch in their eye. They got voices in their head. Their head doesn't fucking turn anymore. They got something. Their knee's blown out. They got something. Baseball players, what do they got? Huh? Other than abroad in every fucking other city you'd never want to go to. You know? They got chicks in Baltimore, Kansas City. Those are both NFL cities. Let me think of a fucked up. Wait, there's 32 teams. There's more football teams than baseball. That doesn't work out, does it? Whatever. I'm just upset. Why is it? Why it just goes by so fucking fast? Anyways, I tell you something. I got to tell you something right now. I think Peyton Manning has a good shot at tying his younger brother with the ring this year. What do you think about that? Earlier this year, you know, I was like, the Giants are the fucking Giants. You don't need to tell a Patriots fan about the Giants. Oh, you don't need to tell us about those cunts. All right? I kept waiting for them to turn it on. Verzi was freaking out in November. I'm like, dude, they do this every year. They pace themselves, and then they start trying right around fucking about a week before Thanksgiving, and then they just go on a run, and they just punch everybody in the mouth. Eli closes his eyes, looks at the opposite end zone, and throws the ball, and it sticks to somebody's helmet or fucking drops in out of the heavens in double coverage. And the expression on his face never changes. You know, he's like the Manchurian candidate of fucking NFL players. Never seen a quarterback as good as him as look as stupid as he does with a helmet on. It's like I don't think I would look worse with a helmet on. You know, usually someone who's not athletic like myself, when we put on athletic equipment, it's just funny. We don't look cool. We look like idiots. And as good as Eli is, he looks like a guy. He looks like the last guy you would pick in gym class. Anyways, I'm just pissed because he beats us every time we go to the fucking Super Bowl. But anyways, the Giants are out. Now the 49ers, I don't know what to think about them after that drubbing last night against Seattle. And I was really rooting for the 49ers. I've always liked the 49ers. Well, that's not true. In 81, I didn't. I was a Cowboys fan. And, but I just, you know, by the end of it, I just, you know, the West Coast offense, Bill Walsh, all that shit. I just loved them. And you know, Pete Carroll drives me nuts. I can't stand that guy. I don't like that guy because he looks like the greatest guy ever. He looks like he just rescued a cat out of a tree, you know, after rescuing a dog from a shelter, after, you know, I don't know, saving somebody from drowning. He looks like a Mormon, you know? Could you look any more wholesome than that guy? He looks like he goes to church every week and sings hymns, you know? Only has sex missionary style, you know? Only does it for procreation. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing fucking wrong with the guy. Yet, the way he left fucking USC, I mean, John Calipari must have been like, nice. That's the way it's done there, Petey. That's how you do it. That, right. You see what he just did? That's how it's done. That's how it's done. You break every fucking rule you fucking can. You win championships. And right when you smell those motherfuckers coming, you leave. And you let the school deal with it. Right? That's what the fuck he did. You know? So then he's up there looking all wholesome. And the worst thing about losing to a Pete Carroll team, or just whenever a Pete Carroll team scores a touchdown, is they're always going to cut to that wholesome guy, and you're going to catch him reacting to the touchdown. And what does he do? Does he make like a fucking war face? Does he go, fuck yeah, like Rex Ryan, something manly? No, he goes, woo! It's genius. It's fucking, it's the most, you expect him, like Rex Ryan, fuck yeah, you expect him to do that. You don't expect somebody to be like, woo, tra-la-la. Like, he does everything but skip down the fucking sidelines. It makes it even more annoying to lose to somebody. If somebody's, like, fucking growling like a grizzly bear, it makes it losing a little more acceptable. But when they... When making noises you'd make if you were pushing your toddler on a swing, it's really degrading. So anyways, you know, Seattle, just in general, is just fucking annoying. It's a great goddamn city, but I don't like their stadium, how they designed it so their fans that aren't that loud would sound louder. I don't like that. And then they get all this credit, right? Well, these fans are so loud. No, the architect was awesome. Anyways, so now I'm looking, I don't know. I think Green Bay's still fucking in it. I have no idea. Now all of a sudden it seems up for grabs. After the last couple of years, I was looking at the NFC going, this is completely lopsided. You know, the three top teams in the league are in the NFC. So you're going to be watching the Super Bowl in the NFC championship game at the very least. And the AFC, we're just going to show up to get our fucking asses kicked. You know, that's just been my opinion, okay? And I stand by my criticism of my own team's fucking defense. As you saw, we struggled with the goddamn Jaguars, all right? And I know, you know, Brady threw a couple of picks and that type of thing, but we made their quarterback, whatever the fucking, Chad Henne, whatever the hell his name is, you know? Made that guy look like John Elway. So anyways, I got a feeling Peyton Manning, you got a fucking chance. He's got a chance, and I'm somehow rooting for the guy. I'm trying to hold up my hatred of the guy, and I just don't have it anymore. Once he left the Colts, it's just he's not on the Colts anymore. I don't care. And now he's an old guy. I'm an old guy. How do I not root for an old guy? He's a fucking old guy. I can relate to it. I got to type in my stupid password here. Do you guys know, here's something that happened yesterday during the Patriots game that I was watching. This is how much the game has changed. Wes Welker, the great Wes Welker, going to be in, at the very least, will be in the New England Patriots Hall of Fame. All right, he's got to stay healthy. He needs a couple, probably about 4,000 more yards. And he's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? So I love the guy. You know, speedy white guy playing wide receiver. It gives you know, uncoordinated white dudes like me hope. Gives us a role model. You know what I mean? So anyways, he catches a ball, and they go, Wes Welker just broke Jerry Rice's record. And immediately my fucking ears perk up going, Wes Welker broke a Jerry Rice record? What record did he break? He broke the record for the most games, 10 or more catches in a game, with his 18th game of having 10 or more catches. And I was like, Wes Welker caught 10 or more passes more in his career than Jerry Rice. You know what? I think I have to go to the profootballreference.com. The best football website out there, by the way. Stay away from ESPN and the NFL one. They're too fucking busy selling their channel and their league. This is just no bullshit. Trim the fucking fat. So Wes Welker holds the record for the most games as a wide receiver catching 10 or more passes. His career yards, 8,486, and he has played 9 seasons. In 9 seasons, he did what Jerry Rice did in 20 seasons. And Jerry Rice, his career total for yards is 22,895. That's how the game's changed. These little fucking passes, which would have been handoffs back in the day. These guys, they're padding their fucking stats. There's got to be an asterisk next to that one. Here's the average yards Wes Welker has. 15 yards his first year. 10.3, 10.5, 10.5, 11.0, 9.9. That's for the year. That was his average per catch. 9.9 yards, 12.9, 11.5. Here's Jerry Rice. All right, where the fuck are we? 18.9, 18.3, 16.6, 20.4, 18.1. You get the point, right? Back in the day, they slid that fucking pigskin around the goddamn field. They ain't doing this little, here you go. Shit, I throw fucking 9-yard passes to my 3-year-old. Fucking Wes Welker has the goddamn record for that bullshit. Fucking 9-yard crack. Hell, I'll catch buckshot 9 yards away. That ain't shit. That's what I'm saying. All these fucking records are getting broken now. All of Dan Marino's records are falling. Dan Marino stood in the fucking pocket and he threw the goddamn ball. He didn't sit in there throwing these little bitch-ass passes down the... You know, there's got to be... There has to be a new stat. Okay? There's got to be a new stat where a handoff's a handoff. And if you throw the fucking ball, it's got to be at least 10 fucking yards. How about that? Can we say that? Can we create a new name for whatever the fuck it is when a quarterback drops back to pass and throws a 3-yard pass to somebody and does that 35 times a game?
He just broke Bart Starr's record for most completions in a row. He just threw 26 6-yard passes in a row.
Well, I got to tell you, Frank, when you do something and you get put in the same sentence as Bart Starr, I mean, you know you've accomplished something.
I don't know. I'm just a crabby old man. Don't listen to me. I'm just fucking saying. That's all I'm saying. Give me a fucking break. Wes Welker did something in 9 seasons that it took Jerry Rice 20 seasons to do, and you're going to tell me there's something right about the league? There's something right about that? Well, maybe in your world, sir, and maybe in your universe, ma'am, but not in mine. What do you think about that? Well, maybe I don't give a shit what you think about that. You ever think about that? Huh? There's a lot to think about in that. All right, let's do a commercial here. Stamps.com, everybody. With the holidays almost here, literally, almost here. You don't have time to go to the post office. What do they mean by the holidays almost here? Christmas? What about Kwanzaa? What about Hanukkah? You know? Have those come and gone already? I don't know. Let's stick to the copy here. With the holidays almost here. Granted, they gave me this 3 weeks ago. You don't have time to go to the post office. Traffic, parking, obese people. It will be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages. So do what I do. Jesus, this is the worst read ever. So do what I do. Use stamps.com instead. Because God knows I'm too stupid to read out loud. So thank God they came up with this wonderful system. What is stamps.com, you ask? With stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Print postage for any letter or package the instant you need it. Then the mailman picks it up. That's it. That's all it is. So easy. So convenient. What else do you need? They're doing everything but bringing you a sandwich. I use Stamps.com to send out all my DVDs for all my road gigs. I absolutely love it. You should try it too. I actually got to get a new scale. I've used it so much I broke it. Well, actually, I dropped something on it the other day, so I got to get a new scale. Special offer right now. Get this special offer when you use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus that includes a digital scale that I just broke and up to $55 free postage. They're giving you $55 during the holiday season. Come on. What more do you want? Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right. Oh, this mold. This mold won't leave me alone. So I know what you're thinking. Well, Bill, next time you go to a restaurant, rather than being insecure about the doctor part of your four, why don't you fucking waddle up to him and ask him about, you know, is it okay to smoke a moldy cigar once in your life? Evidently, the guy at the cigar told me, he said I'd be fine. You know, that's how a guy goes to the doctor. He talks to some guy he doesn't know who isn't a doctor. Vaguely describes what he did and goes, you think I'll be all right? And the other guy goes, yeah, I think I'll be good. And you're like, all right. And then your girl gets on you. Why don't you go to the doctor? Because I talked to that fucking guy over there. The guy emptying out the trash? Hey, sweetheart, you don't make fun of what a guy does for a living, okay? It's an unwritten rule. It's an unwritten rule. Now, you look it down on the ground as we walk back to the car, and you don't say goodnight to nobody. Pope of Greenwich Village, thank you. And I avoided the not having a thumb part. All right, so what went on in the world this week? I had an awesome week. I did another episode of Glee, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and could not have had more fun. I will let you know when it comes out. And that was my last work for this year. And I ain't doing shit, baby. I ain't doing anything. I recorded the podcast earlier today, and like I said, I was fucking with my dog and during the podcast, wrestling with her and stuff. It was funny as hell, but it got a little too rough, and I unplugged my thing here and the recorder, and I lost that podcast. And I still think about it sometimes. No. So anyways, I had to make a fucking pie today. Made an apple pie, and there was a little collateral damage with the crust on top. Made it from scratch, bitches. Okay? So I know I come off like I'm miserable and I'm cynical, but I like Johnny Mathis' Christmas music, and I can make a pie from scratch. You know? What are you doing today? I don't want to get old John Lennon on you. And so this is Christmas. Then what have you done? I got it down. The big fucking thing about making a pie crust, you can't be intimidated by the flour. That's the thing. I finally realized I was approaching it like a bitch every year. I was like, ooh, 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 ah, and then I'd fuck it up. This year I was like, I don't give a fuck. I got a whole bag of flour. You know? Like a pimp that has a whole stable of whores. Just sitting there like, all right, lady, you either make this fucking work or I'll get another one in here to replace you. That was the thing. So I'm out in the kitchen, right? And when you bake, you know, aside from, you know, risking getting gay bashed in your own kitchen, when you bake as a male, you got to put an apron on because your hands are going to get all sticky. So believe it or not, I don't own an apron. And the only apron in the house is the one my mother got for Nia. And I swear to God, it's like this floral pattern frilly fucking thing. Like if an old lady had it on, you'd be like, oh my God, that's the greatest grandmother ever. So I got this fucking thing on, you know. Nia's in the fucking living room, so I'm in the kitchen. I got the door closed, and she knows I'm making a pie, and she starts to smell the filling. And I do that Food Network shit where I don't measure the shit out as I you know, as I'm making it. You know, I have it. I measure the shit out, and I put it all in these little fucking things so I can just bam, 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 like I'm on a show. You know, you put the cream in, then you add the sugar. Whisk that together. Now a little bit of salt, a little bit of nutmeg, a little cinnamon, you know? Bam, 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 and the whole fucking thing goes. Whatever, your hands get all fucking sticky. So I'm sitting there, right? And I'm peeling the apples and that type of shit. I go to pick up one, and it fucking, the apple falls, and it lands on two of my little things that I already have measured out. And they tip over on the counter, and then the apple fucking lands on the floor and rolls across the kitchen. Now, Nia always gets on me for my temper, flipping out and causing tension. And I realized that, okay? So when I flipped out, rather than screaming, I sort of crouched down. And I just went, fuck! Something like that, with this fucking apron on. So Nia heard that, you know, it wasn't loud, but the intensity was fucking ridiculous. So she comes bursting in to make sure I'm all right. And she's like, Bill, are you okay? And I came in, I go, yeah, I'm fine. And then she sees me standing in that apron. It might have been the hardest I think I ever heard her laugh. I knew I'd look a little stupid, but like she almost fucking passed out. She, like, laughed, I think, for 5 minutes straight. And every time she started to stop, she started going again. You know when someone's laughing so hard, you start laughing? It was one of those deals. And I'm sitting there trying to peel the apples. And she's laughing so hard, I got like fucking tears in my eyes, and I can't see what I'm doing. But long story short, I just remeasured the shit, lost a little nutmeg or whatever, and I cooked it. I had a little collateral damage with the fucking dough on the one on top, but I got to tell you, it's nice. It's a good looking fucking pie. To the point, I'm gonna post it, and I'll tell you, as far as looks, I give it a six. Now, I know once it gets posted to the internet and all you miserable cunts who aren't happy with your lives, rather being like, you know what? That's not too bad. That's not too bad a job. I know you guys are just going to fucking, you know, you're going to tear it to shreds. And you know what I say? I say, God bless you. I say happy holidays to you too. I'm sorry you didn't get that fire engine under the Christmas tree. And rather than looking at your parents or your girlfriend, whatever the fuck you got, who didn't get you that fire engine, you're going to decide to take it out on me and my innocent little pie. All right? I hope you feel good about yourself. What else? What else are we going to talk about? Oh, I know. A buddy of mine, you know, the one who was questioning my loyalty to the Patriots because I had the audacity to say that their defense stinks. Actually, he called me after the Jaguars game and said, I think I agree with you now. And then he also, he left a message. He asked me if I saw the NRA press conference, you know, or as he said, the NR. Dude, you see the fucking NRA press conference? Fuck! When is this mold going to be out of my system? According to the guy at the cigar store, I'll be fine. as he sells me another cigar. What the hell was I talking about? Yeah, so yeah, he said, dude, you got to check out this NRA thing. And he goes, it's like, and he said to me, he goes, and you know me, dude, I'm in the middle. And I know a million people who say I'm in the middle and they're not in the middle. I've said I'm in the middle. I'm not in the middle. I lean to the left with a nice fucking uppercut or right. That's where I am, you know? I am to the left when it comes to the working man, when it comes to the twinkle toes, when it comes to, you know, people wanting to come to the country, I'm to the left. You know, when it comes to other shit, like taking responsibility for your fucking actions, I'm on the right. No, it isn't okay. You're a douche. Go fuck yourself. Go make it right or go sit in that cell and pay your dues. You don't get a do-over. It all depends. But I'm mainly on the right. I'm one of the angriest liberals you'll ever fucking meet. I guess I'm supposed to be doing yoga or something. I missed something out on the pamphlet or whatever. I don't know what the fuck it is. But this guy, you know, I got a bunch of people that, like, Verzi's another guy. He's another one of those guys, the classic guy who says he's in the middle. You're like, dude, you're not. You lean this way. You totally, every fucking issue I bring up, you lean this way. And then they always say the same thing. Dude, I'm a registered independent. It's the dumbest thing ever. Give a fuck what you're registered. That's a classic thing. You register independent and then argue all one side. And then when people just accuse you, yeah, you're fucking liberal. You're a conservative. And they go, I'm a registered independent. Well, you didn't have to pass a test. You know? You just defined yourself as an independent. The same way Madison Square Garden just gives itself the nickname the world's most famous arena. You know? And then everybody just, it's the world's most, there it is. There's the world's most famous arena. A cookie cutter fucking stadium. An arena that was made during the worst, most uncreative time of arenas. The world's most famous arena. If you can tell me how that thing looks more different than any other stadium during that fucking time, then goddamn it, I'll make you an apple pie. What do you think about that? So anyways, he goes, yeah, so all you people out there who think just because you're a registered independent and then therefore you can just argue the same side of every fucking argument, and still, you know, and then that's your parachute. I'm a registered independent. Hey, but my best friend's black. You know, it's like one of those deals. It's your little get out of jail fucking bullshit thing, all right? I'm here to tell you, you're not fooling anybody, all right? You're full of shit. But this guy, he actually, I've known him for 20 years, and I really don't know how he feels about anything. Keeps the shit real close to the vest, and he always surprises me. Every time I think he's going this way, he'll go that way. I mean, I don't know. He might be a contrarian. I have no fucking idea. He might just be arguing with the opposite side just to fucking drive me nuts. But anyways, he says, check out this NRA thing. He goes, you know, I don't really feel one way or the other about it. But these guys, they come off like it's a fucking cartoon. Like their solution to the gun situation is more guns. That's what he tells me. So I sit down and I'm like, well, I got to fucking watch this shit. Get some material out of this, right? And I put it on and I watched it. And I got to admit, I thought the guy made a lot of good points. I don't know if I'm going to get hate mail over this. I don't have a problem if they ban, you know, semi-automatic fucking assault weapons. I don't know what you need one of those for. You know? If you're using it to hunt, you're fucking cheating. Like, how bad a shot are you? That you got to bang, 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 bang. Got it. I got it. I got it. Sorry. Sorry. I got it. Got it. You know? So I don't have a problem with that. But, like, I don't like the whole demonizing of people who own guns that you're just automatically evil. It's stupid. That would be like demonizing me. I use a computer, so therefore, you know, I advocate sexual predators or people who steal your identity. You know what I mean? I mean, I kind of think if you're in the NRA, you got your gun legally, and I think I would... With no stats whatsoever, completely over my head, no research, no nothing, I'm willing to bet. All right? A meringue pie. It's all going to be pies this week. Dad, I would say like 99% of the people who register a gun legally, first of all, probably never do anything. Most of them probably never do anything more than go down to the fucking gun range and shoot it. Then you got another percentage that actually go out and they go shoot a pheasant. Or a quail, or an elk, or some bullshit like that, right? But the amount that actually go out and commit a fucking crime, or shoot somebody or something, I wouldn't, you know? The problem, you know what the fucking problem is? Is we don't have a way of weeding out sociopaths, psychos, maniacs. There's no way to find them. That's what you need to do. If you could do that, if you could somehow fucking do that, you wouldn't even need metal detectors at the airport. You wouldn't need anything. There could be a gun in every fucking house. No one's ever going to go out and deliberately do something. Somebody could, you know, obviously have an accident. But shit, you have accidents in cars. People put pools in their backyards. People fucking break their necks. Shit happens. People fall off ladders. Shit fucking happens. There's got to be a way. You know? If I was running shit, I would, you know, when you're like on a fucking tangent and you realize halfway through how dumb you sound, that was just the moment right there. It was like, if I was running shit, yet you listen because you're laughing at me, aren't you? Well, go fuck yourselves. I don't care. I'm feeling good. I made a pie today. And what have you done? If I was running shit, I would go to the people who came up with that black light that helps you find jizz on a quilt, you know, and be like, make one of those lights for psychos, you know, and then I would replace all the lights in the street lights, you know, with that light, which would create jobs, you know, and then with the surplus of that money, we'd have health care. Just stay with me on this one. And it would be like this maniac light. And if you're a good shit, you have a soul and you have a fucking heart and you're not a cunt, it would be this one particular color. See, nobody would know about this shit. It'd be all top secret. It'd just be, I'd know about it, the guys who invented it, and all the million people who had to unscrew the old light bulbs and put... No, you don't have to tell them. Just tell them it's some new energy efficient thing. And you just weed out all the psychos. And I know what all the liberals are going to say.
And then what do you do with them? Do you kill them? If you kill them, then you're just as bad as they are.
All right. Well, then I'll go classic right wing. We take them, we stick them on a fucking island. Let them all kill each other. Now, that would be a dumb thing. Now, that would be stupid. That would be a dumb fucking liberal way of doing things. Well, we can't kill these people. We can't illegally detain them because they haven't done anything yet. Okay? That. And then you stick them on an island, and then you create this can you dig it fucking island. You know? God help us when those cunts get organized and all come back ashore. All right? There's not enough Will Smiths, Tom Cruises, and fucking, I don't know, what not, give me another action hero. Chuck Norris is out there to stop that level of evil. That's the thing. You got to, like those fucking people holding up signs saying that the NRA is killing children. It's just, first of all, they weaken that side of the argument because they're coming off like complete psychopaths. You know? I don't know. I found the press really annoying, too. Like, they had already made up their minds. Like, they were all over taking pictures of the people holding up the protesting things. And one of the press guys, I'm assuming it's a press guy. I don't know who it was. But he's in the room, you know. Assuming it's got to be somebody from the press, yells at the NRA guy. And he goes, what do you think about the protesters? And the NRA guy doesn't say anything, just continues with his speech. And then the same guy in the crowd goes, he goes, oh, stick with the script. It's like, dude, are you still a reporter at that point? Because you don't sound like one. Your job's to go down there and report what happened. I'm fine with what do you think about the protesters? Even then, that was borderline because the guy was still in the middle of his statement. But that's okay because it did happen. But when the guy chooses no comment, that's what you report. No comment. He goes on to heckle. Oh, stick with the script. I don't know. They're fucking idiots, man. They're just, I don't, there is no fucking solution. Until you can come up with something. As much as I was making a joke about having a psycho streetlight that identifies maniacs, until you do that, I don't give a fuck. You know? There's still going to be problems, isn't there? Jesus Christ, look what those fucking maniacs do in the Middle East. They don't even use guns. They go down to the Home Depot, they get a fucking thing of fertilizer, right? Whatever the fuck they do, and they walk into a food court and blow themselves up. Then what are they going to do? Close down the hardware stores? All right, I'm in over my head. So this is Christmas. All right, this is cruising along, 43 minutes in. Hey, everybody. Did you enjoy the podcast this year as much as I did? Well, I sure hope you did. They also blamed video games. Blaming video games. Which, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I find violent video games to be stress relieving. I also find going to a gun range and shooting a gun to be oddly calming. The same sort of calm I get when I make a fucking apple pie. I'm not even lying to you. I get that same level of enjoyment. Because I'm not a psycho. I'm a cunt. I'm a dick. I'm a moron. But I'm not a psycho. All right? I'll stand. You come up with that light. I'll fucking stand underneath it. All you're going to see is a bald spot and a beautiful soul. All right, plowing ahead here. By the way, people, I got a couple of gigs coming up in 2013. In January, I'm going to be at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, California. Absolutely love this club. And I'm hoping to have a couple of up-and-coming heavy hitters opening for me. I haven't reached out to anybody yet, but Flappers in Burbank, and that's going to be on January 10th, two shows. We'll give you the links and everything if you go to the podcast page on billburr.com. And then on November 26th, I am going to be out in Honolulu, Hawaii, at the Hukilau fucking, what the fuck's the name of the goddamn things? I'm the worst. See, why do I talk myself into these damn corners? Well, because you're not organized, Bill. You know? You don't have any sort of, you know, set list. It's, oh, fuck yourself. Oh, I thought it was going to be up on my website. Where the fuck is it? Whatever. Just look. You do the work. Look up Bill Burr in fucking Hawaii and you'll see it. It's January 26th. I will be there and I'm going to the Pro Bowl. You won't be able to miss me. It'll be me and fucking 83 other people in Hawaiian shirts. It's going to be awesome. And then I'm at the Wilbur Theater, Boston, Massachusetts, my old stomping grounds where I started. Wilbur Theater, right across from Nick's Comedy Stop, where I started March 2nd, 1992, on an open mic night. Long, long time ago. Wilbur Theater, February 21st, two shows, and February 22nd, one show. And other than that, the only other thing I have that's on sale right now is May 30th in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm at the Mary Hoff Symphony Hall. Doesn't that sound amazing? You know how loud I'm going to be? It's a symphony hall. I'll sound like a fucking Seahawk fan. It's all that artificial help. All right. Back to the podcast here. So, let's answer some questions here. If you'd like to email me, it's... what the fuck is it? I think it's bill@themmpodcast.com. We'll have that link up there, too. I haven't said it in so long, I forget what the fuck it is. All right. This is terrible. Whatever. You guys aren't even working today, are you? You know? Aren't you home? Putting on a sweater? Questions from New Zealand. So, you know what's great about New Zealand? I was at a Christmas party last night, and I met some woman there, and she was saying how in World War I, that when Great Britain declared war on Germany, that New Zealand felt, because they were their colony, both them and Australia, they had to follow suit. So they told England that, hey, we're right there with you. And you know what England did? Did they mix them in with their troops? No. You ever see that All Quiet on the Western Front, that trench warfare? We had gas masks because using poisonous gas wasn't considered illegal in war. Mustard gas and all that shit, hand-to-hand fighting, shitting in a fucking hole. Some of the worst conditions ever. That's where they were sent. All those people up there, they were all from fucking New Zealand and Australia. Not one Englishman had the fucking balls to go there in the trenches. At least this is the way the person from New Zealand explained it to me. I might have exaggerated a little bit, but I'm also trying to get some emails here. Not one Englishman had the balls. Didn't have the fucking balls. They were all sitting there with Winston Churchill holding hands, you know, having a biscuit. No, but seriously, listen to this shit. The total number of New Zealand troops and nurses to serve overseas in 1914 and 1918 was 100,444 from a population of just over a million. 10% of their, over 10%, or roughly 10% of their population fought in the war. 42% of the men of military age served. 16,697 New Zealanders were killed. Of course they were. They sent them right to the front. And 41,317 were wounded during the war, a 58% casualty rate. You know, this is the kind of shit England does. And then I go over there and they start giving me shit about George Bush. You know, it's like, why don't you fucking clear off your register there, Ian, before you come in at me? I can't even remember the last time somebody from England gave me shit about the foreign policy. I just like fucking pissing them off because then they keep listening. And then the next time I play the Leicester Square Theater, hopefully they'll be there. Then maybe they yell some shit out and we have a good time. All right. Question from New Zealand. I live in Christchurch, New Zealand. Oh, Jesus. Christchurch, all one word. I live in Christchurch, New Zealand. By the way, I'm going to midnight mass tonight with Nia's mom. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. With the fucking choir. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ has life for us. Two years ago, we had an earthquake in New Zealand. I didn't hear about that. Then again, I don't pay attention to shit. 2 years ago, we had an earthquake which wrecked the city and killed a couple hundred people. It almost killed me, too. Now, for 3 years, I've been going out with a great girl. She's nice,
smart,
caring, fun to hang out with, and I'm not sick of banging her. Problem is, her cousin got killed in the earthquake. Oh, sorry to hear that. And ever since then, she's been terrified. The aftershocks have all but stopped now, but she hasn't recovered. Every time a truck drives past on the road outside my house, she flinches and trembles. Sometimes she cries randomly. She won't move away from the city because all of her family is here, and I'm pretty much at the end of my rope. Aside from this, she might be even marriage material, but I just can't deal with this anymore. On the day of the quake, I was within 20 feet of being squashed like a grape by a four-story building that fell on the sidewalk. I had just been walking on while she was having lunch in a park. So I can't sympathize with her mental fragility anymore. It's been too long with no improvement. I don't even know how the fuck I expect you to help me. I guess I just want to complain without anyone I know in real life calling me an asshole for it, because the perception in my social circle is that I have to just deal with it. But I'm not sure I can do it for another 2 years. Anyway, that's my problem. Any advice would be appreciated. Come and do a show in New Zealand sometimes, because this is a great country for a tourist and I can't be bothered going to the States to see you. And aside from that, enjoy what might be the longest range. Go fuck yourself for the week. Cheers, mate. Take care. Well, as mean as you sound, I totally relate to that. And you kind of sound like a little bit of a Waldorf psycho, which I also relate to. So you're probably, you know, despite the fact a building almost fell on you, which is kind of a stretch, I consider a building almost fell on you like it starts to fall and you run out of the way. Not that I was just there 20 minutes ago. Yeah, you and 1,000 other fucking people. All right? But anyways, yeah, I totally get what you, you know, I get it. I get it. 2 years of every time a truck goes by, she starts shaking. Doing that, yeah, it fucking drive me nuts after a while. At some point, you got to grow up and get over it. You know? It's like living with a fucking chihuahua. Sitting there with its eyes all bugged out, shaking and peeing in the fucking corner. At some point, you know, you got to grow a dick. Have you asked her to go to therapy? Maybe you should do that. That's what Nia suggested when she did the first podcast that I lost. She's not available now. She's not available. She suggested that you ask her to go to therapy. Just sit down and say, listen, I'm concerned with the fact that you're still this traumatized by the earthquake, and I want to help you get some help. And start with that. And if she doesn't get help and she keeps shaking and trembling in the corner and peeing like a little Yorkshire Terrier, I don't know, dude. You either got to break up with her or you got to lay off the booze, because you're going to snap. At some point, you're going to be a little drunk, and you've had a bad day. You're having a couple. You're throwing them down the fucking chute, right? And all of a sudden, whatever happens, somebody blows their nose next door, and she's gonna be like, doing that shit. And you're going to be like, you're just going to look at her and imitate her. And that's going to fucking destroy her. You're going to do that. Jesus, that just sounded creepy when I did that. But it's going to happen. So I try to get her help, or I would get out of the fucking relationship. You know? I mean, it's been 2 fucking years. It's been 2 fucking years, okay? And, you know, she's acting like it happened 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 years. That's plenty of fucking time to get. I mean, you never get over losing somebody. But, like, to still have it be that fucking raw that, you know, somebody can't even break wind without you breaking down crying is you know, I mean, maybe she's that sensitive. And if she's that fucking sensitive and you're not, I don't know. Sometimes opposite attract, but I don't think it is in this case. That's it. All right. 24-year-old virgin on first date. Hello, Bill, and possibly Nia. Sorry, she's not here this week. She was during the first taping. I'm sorry. As should be deduced by the subject line, I'm a major pussy. I've had absolutely zero romantic experiences in my life. I took some pretty brutal rejections when I was in high school and have been too timid to try my luck since. It's not like I'm a cowering, blubbering mess when I'm talking to women either. I just tend to think, why bother? I know what she's going to say. It's a loser mentality, which is stupid, I know. So what do you need my help for, sir? You know you're being a pussy, and you know you're psyching yourself out. You know what's going on. Huh? You know what the deal is. All right, let's keep reading. By now, there's this girl who's really interested in me. I'm not used to that feeling. Aw, come on, dude. What the fuck is wrong with you? By now, there's a girl that's interested in me, and I'm not used to that. What are you, a fucking cyclops? You can't believe the kind of guys that women are interested in. They're not just about looks, you know? They're about senses of humor, money. Sorry, I don't know. They like other shit. We met in an English course. She's attractive, way smarter than me, and funny as fuck. We have a lot in common, and she's almost as cynical and black-hearted as I am. She's perfect. She's got a lot of issues, though. Within minutes of the first time we talked, she started telling me about how she cuts herself. Oh, Jesus. And about how often she tries to kill herself. All right, right there, dude. It's over. Right there. It's over. Okay. And he goes on to say, she's bipolar and schizophrenic. All right. Guys, if you're going to make up emails, can you try to do a better job and not make them this fucking over the top? Dude, you use deduced in the first fucking sentence of your email, and you're too fucking dumb to not know to get away from this, if this is true. I'll play along. Whatever. It's Christmas. I'll play along. Let's just act like this is true. She's bipolar and schizophrenic. Oh, that's great. She cuts herself, tries to kill herself. She's bipolar. She's schizophrenic. You know, I think it's all there. Bipolar and schizophrenic. That's like the two-piece meal at Kentucky Fried Chicken with a side of cutting yourself and a to-go big gulp of suicide. There you go. That's what you want to let in your inner circle. She's told me that she has a slew of characters that talk to her, which she... Oh, go fuck yourself. All right, nice try, buddy. Okay, I'm done with this email. All right. Introspective drugs. Hey, Bill, love the podcast, and I've gotten a lot of my friends to listen to you in the last few months. I'm a 49ers fan. I love hearing Patriots fans bitch when they get beat. Well, you don't hear that a lot, do you? Huh? Let me ask you a question. Are you good at catching punts? You want to play that game, sir? Huh? Haven't won anything in 20 fucking years? How'd you like that Seattle beatdown? You know what? Here's my Pete Carroll impression for you. How many times did you see this last night? Woo! That sounds too much like Ric Flair. I got to get some NFL films audio of what he sounds like when he does that. Anyways, he goes, I know you hang out with Joe Rogan and a lot of famous LA comedians. And I'm curious if you ever are willing to get down with mushrooms or any kind of psychedelic substance. Get down with it. Get down. Rap, rap. Not like today or next week, just any time in the rest of your life. You seem like the kind of guy who would be balls out laughing, making everybody else laugh with introspective insights. Oh, there's no doubt I would have a great fucking time if I ever did it. But that's really what scares me. You know what I mean? Like, when I listen to people who've done mushrooms, I listen to it. It sounds fucking awesome. It does, but, you know, there's a price that you pay when you do shit like that. See, I like being ignorant. You know what I mean? Like, walking into nature sober is awesome to me because I don't know that if I was on mushrooms that I would be enjoying a tree that much more. The fact that I never did it, like, you know, like the first time you get high, if you shoot up with heroin, like those guys chase that every fucking day, no matter what they do. See that Patriots game? Wasn't that unbelievable? Compared to what? You know, once you've shot up, it's only so fucking enjoyable. So drugs scare me because I know that I would really enjoy them. And I've seen what they've done to a lot of people's lives. And And I'm not literally saying you end up on the street homeless. I'm not talking about that extreme thing. I'm just saying how I've seen a lot of people waste a lot of time and talent and potential and all that type of stuff. But I do not question why people do them at all. You know, I would love to hallucinate, you know. I'd love to talk to a sneaker. Why wouldn't you? Talk to everything else that can talk at this point. I'm on a, you know, be a new experience. But the problem is I just feel like I would love it. And, you know, that's why I don't do it. Anyways, there's a lot of comedians talk about weak topical shit, but it seems like you have a deep vein of intelligence that a certain audience hones in on. Oh, I get it. I see what you're buttering me up. You want to do mushrooms with me. So this is what you're treating me like an 18-year-old incoming freshman. You know, you're the most beautiful girl here. You're not like the others. No, dude, I'm not saying I never would, but like, I know myself too well. The shit I do with alcohol, isn't that enough of a fucking sign? You know, I'm going to be buzzed tonight when I go to church. That's just, I can't show up. Nia's mom there with booze on my breath. I wasn't raised like that, you know. But I tell you, once that guy breaks open the wine, all bets are off. Underrated, a flask. Flask at midnight mass. You know what's the great thing about a flask? Is if somebody catches you with it, all you do to get out of it is you look at them, you do that nod, and you give them a little toast. And then it's just so awkward, they have to nod and kind of give you like a fucking black power fist back to you. What are they going to do? You know? Anyways, girlfriend jealous of dog. Dearest William, I watched your stand-up special with my girlfriend and we loved it. Oh, well, thank you very much. Anyways, my girlfriend is jealous of my dog. The dog is small and I often have it laying with me on the couch, sleeping in bed with us. Of course, I'm cuddling with my girlfriend at the same time. While you cuddle with a beast... I know it's a little dog, but still, you know? So you got a little threesome going on there. I kind of see why she would be annoyed. But she still complains that I'm more affectionate with the dog and is often mean and abusive to the dog, pushing her around, calling her slut / whore, etc. Has this happened to you? Am I out of my mind, or is it strange for a girl to be jealous of an animal? All right, dude, here's the thing. You need to stop sleeping with your dog when your girlfriend's there. You got to know that humans are higher up than dogs, okay? Treat your girl with a little more respect, okay, first off. And secondly, you need to dump that woman, okay? That whole shit there, like getting jealous of the dog is one thing. It's not jealous of the dog. She's just upset that you're probably saying way more lubby-dubby things to the fucking dog and are way more affectionate to the fucking dog, caressing the dog, petting it, way more than you are her. So that's normal. But when she takes it to the point of the bizarre, calling the dog a slut or a whore, and then hitting an animal, pushing around on any fucking level, that's a done deal right there. All right? If those street lights were there, I don't know what color she would come out, but it wouldn't be the color that I am. All right? Old American here. Apple pie and Chevrolet. Fuck Chevrolet. I like Fords. But you know what I'm saying. That's what you got to do. You got to curb your attention you're giving to your dog, and you got to dump that woman. That's it. Anyone who's mean to a fucking animal is they're a piece of shit, and that's the tip of the iceberg. It's the Bronx Tale. Lock the door test right there. You're out. See ya. All right. Overrated, underrated. Bill, I love the podcast and listen to it all the time. I think there are way too many overrated sports cliches. For example, give 110%, taking one game at a time, at the end of the day, etc. Any halftime interview with any coach. What do you think, Bill? What's your opinion on sports cliches? Are they overrated or underrated? If so, what are some of your favorite / most annoying ones? All right, well, this time of year, they always have the classic. I'll tell you, they're the 8-6 team nobody wants to play. They got that one. They always have that team. The best team with the shitty record that nobody wants to play. The one that the coach will say, I'll tell you, you give me 22 of those guys. Give me 22 of those guys and I go undefeated. They don't make them like that guy. He's a throwback. That guy's a throwback. The lovely Nia, everybody. Just walked in. You walked in late. I already went by the whole thing. What are some of the other ones? Oh, this is the one I hate the most. I'll tell you, you hate that guy, but if he played for you, you'd love him. They always say that about those dirty pieces of shit that go and, like, deliberately blow somebody's knee out and end their career. And for the record, I wouldn't love them if they played for my team. I wouldn't. I don't like dirty pieces of shit, whether they're wearing the uniform of the team that I love or that I hate. I don't like those guys. So I don't know if that's an overrated, underrated. But I gave you overrated, underrated, underrated. Bringing a flask to Midnight Mass is underrated. And, hey, Nia, come over. We only got one mic. Come over here for a second.
All I need is one mic.
How was, how'd that pie look?
That pie looked amazing. It was, I walked in and I was like, oh, it was beautiful. You did a great job.
And how manly did I look in that apron?
I don't understand why you won't allow me to tweet pictures like this. Well, I think
I get enough shit.
Yeah, that's
why
true.
Help him out?
But I laughed for a solid 5 minutes on that one. That was good. It was great, but that pie looks amazing. I can't wait to have it tomorrow.
All right. Excited. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fucking send out the picture of the pie. Yeah, okay. And watch. They'll shit all over that. They'll shit all over it. That's a pie. Did you already throw it in somebody's face? Somebody take a shit on it?
Do they know what a gourmet cook you are, though? Have you talked about that? How your skills in the kitchen have become quite good.
Thank you. That was damn near a compliment.
Well, it is a compliment. You made the braised short ribs, which was amazing. Braised short ribs. He made braised short ribs, bought this beautiful bottle of wine. It was very romantic. It was delicious, too. It was like restaurant quality good.
Yeah, overrated cooking. It's not that hard. All these fucking jackasses on the Food Network, and this is blah, blah, blah. This is going to infuse, and that's...
It takes a certain amount of creativity, I think, you know, to, like, make something really special. Anyone can make a by-the-book recipe, but you got to add your own little, you know...
That's all I'm doing.
Voodoo ba ba. You got a jazz thing.
They own what? Don't ever do that again. No, I don't. I just follow the recipe word for fucking word.
Well,
that's it.
When you get more confident, you'll be able to improvise a little bit more. You won't have to do that. You'll just be like, I'm making this today, and you'll be.
Do I seem insecure when I'm in the kitchen? I'm sitting there wearing a woman's fucking apron.
You are. You're wearing my apron.
Yeah.
That your mom gave me. So it was kind of like, well, either way, I laughed.
Yes, you did. All right. Well, Merry Christmas, Nia.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
To everybody. Yay. And thank you, everybody, this year. Everybody coming out to my shows. Everybody who's listened. Anybody who's advertised on this podcast. God bless you.
God bless us.
Go fuck yourselves. We got one more Monday left in this year. I hope you guys have a good time. And I know there's going to be some douchebags at Christmas and in-law. Or it's just somebody you don't fucking like. And just whatever. Don't engage. For the sake of your mom, your dad, or just everybody. Even the person you're with. Just don't get involved in it. All right? I don't know. Have them go stand under the streetlight and see what color they are. All right. That's it. Go fuck yourselves.